Do you want to become a better songwriter? Well, we created a very simple 10-minute songwriter personality test, and it's going to help you better understand who you are as a writer, and it's going to help you in the writer's room when you're writing with other writers, because you're going to be able to identify what kind of writer they are. Maybe even have them take the songwriter personality test. If you're curious and you want to take the songwriter personality test today, just visit songwriterpersonalitytest.com or go to the link on the writingworship.co website.
This is Mary Beth
and Chrissy.
Welcome to Brave Worship.
Well, it's been an exciting week at the Nordods this week.
It has been a crazy week. We've had birthdays, we have had soccer games, we have had just all kinds of stuff going on.
Oh yeah, we have. And I feel like I was just thinking this morning, getting ready to come down here, it's one of those mornings where you feel like you've accomplished a whole day in a morning. And then you look up at the clock and you're like, whoa, it's only 9 o'clock.
I love that.
Which is awesome. So, it's been a really full week. And you made an announcement this week.
I did.
Which we might want to share with our guests.
Yeah. We are expecting our fourth baby.
Yes. Which that's brave in itself.
Very brave. Yeah. We've got three little boys that are 4, 6, and 8. So, well, 4, 6, and 9. We've got a birthday today. Yeah. So we've got one more on the way. We don't know what it is yet, but be here in October.
Yeah. So it's super exciting.
Good stuff. A brave baby.
A brave baby. The first brave baby.
Yeah.
How fun.
Absolutely.
We had a great time at Girls Write Out this week.
Mm-hmm.
We had Michael Farron come in and shared something, which we're going to have him come on and share. But if you missed it, it's on Periscope. You can search for Girls Write Out, and it should be listed under, we've got several things you can watch there. Mm-hmm. So check that out.
It was awesome. So empowering, I think, which is exactly what we want to be doing, you know, for women in ministry. And so it was great for the people that were there. And I know a lot of people watched it live on Periscope or recorded on Periscope. So
yeah. So if you want to watch it on Periscope every Monday, 7 p.m. Central Time, every first Monday of the month, we do these events, and you're welcome to join us on Periscope. We're periscoping the entire thing now. So,
or in person. I mean, the people that are local are obviously it's a little easier to plug in, but there were people that were here from out of town that were traveling, people that planned their travel schedule around being there, which is really cool. It's a great community. So very awesome opportunity.
Yeah. So I thought I might share. This morning I was reading in Daniel, and I loved what I read this morning. It was just a fresh awakening for me. Basically, it all came down to Daniel to save the lives of many people, because no one could interpret the king's dream, but he wouldn't tell anyone what the dream was. So they had to first know what the dream was and then interpret the dream in order to not be killed. And from the chapters that I read, Daniel prayed to God, and then God gave him a vision, and then he was able to go to the king and present, hey, here's your vision or the dream, and here's the interpretation. And then he said afterwards, both the dream and the interpretation are accurate. That kind of rocked my world this morning, because it takes that kind of a faith, I think, in order to live boldly or to live bravely.
Mm.
And so basically, he was so bold. His life depended on this interpretation and the dream. And he was so bold that he was able to say, in the face of the man that could possibly kill him, both are accurate. And there was no argument. There was absolutely no room for argument.
That's astounding.
What do you think about that?
I think it's like a scary thought. I never thought about it that way before. I always thought it was, you know, Daniel just I don't know. I guess I thought he felt like he was magical or something. You know what I mean? He already had it, that he just knew it was there. But you're exactly right. It's like he probably faced the same feelings we do when we're getting ready to do something that's scary or something where we feel like we need that extra dose of faith to step out, you know?
Yeah.
One of the things you shared at Girls Write Out was just small steps for
lead to big victories.
Yeah.
Big victories are won by the small steps.
Yeah, yeah. Just by that one step, which I think is so cool.
And it's that feeling. I mean, we kind of have that feeling facing Brave Worship a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's a totally new venture. And Michael shared some things with us this week that were astounding.
Yeah.
Do you want to share what he told us?
Oh, sure. About what he saw?
Yeah.
Okay. So Michael Farron shared with us, he was praying for Brave Worship on his way to speak for us at Girls Write Out this week. And for those of you guys who don't know him, he's somebody who knows the Lord, you know, knows the Lord well and talks with the Lord. And he was just praying for Brave Worship out loud, he said. And he looked up, he's going down the highway, going about 80 miles an hour. And to the, he's going by on his right, a big old... What are they
RV.
RV. I was going to say Winnebago.
Winnebago.
A big RV. And on the back of it, it just said Brave in big letters, which was crazy. I mean, usually those things have like a werewolf painted or something, but it just said Brave really big on the back of this thing. And he said, I believe God's saying that this Brave Worship is going to be bigger than you thought it could be. And it's going to be going faster than start faster than you thought it would, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he said this big old thing was just barreling down the highway going 70, 75 miles an hour. And it was very cool to have him share that just publicly. And, just to have that kind of blessing really, that he feels like God told him and he mm-hmm. spoke to us, and it's just really cool. I think God wants to move. He wants to do something really neat. So
we're feeling just this momentum building in our community, and it's exciting mm-hmm. and scary at the same time, but we're up for it, and we're ready to just press in and hopefully, you know, have that same heart that Daniel had, where you literally press into the Lord for everything as if your life depended on it. And so that's kind of our way that we're dedicating this ministry, I think, in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we got another amazing blessing too, which we're going to dive into next.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait to share. We had the opportunity to talk with the Darlene Check. and just amazing wisdom coming from her. And, you know, we were talking to her across the ocean, and mm-hmm. Just the little nuggets, everything that she says, I feel like it, you can tell she's someone who walks with the Lord, mm-hmm. you know? And one of the things that really stood out to me that she talked about was mm-hmm. having that well-worn path between her and the Lord in regard to worship leaders and mm-hmm. regarding to taking the stage and as a worship leader, that just being the biggest advice. And so you guys will hear her talk about that. Mm-hmm. But she's just awesome. She's paved the way, you know, for worship leaders, for songwriters, especially for women.
Yeah.
But for everybody, you know, in so many ways. So I can't wait for everybody to listen and hear.
Yeah, I can't either. And, you know, I can't really think of a better example of someone that has bravely, you know, worn those paths to worship for not just herself, but for all of us, and has been a role model, really, for you and I specifically. Yeah. But I know for many more. And it's just inspiring that she's done that as a mom and now as a grandmother, as she's faced, you know, breast cancer, as she's walked through lots of things, and still she walks bravely, and it's just a beautiful thing. So enjoy this. This is our conversation with Darlene Check.
Hi, Darlene. This is Mary Beth.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Great. How are you? Hey, it's Chrissy too.
Hi, Chrissy.
Hi.
Great. Well, thank you again so much, Darlene. It's such an honor just to get to hear from you today. And, you know, I started out as a worship pastor at age 22. So I was really young and just coming out of college. And, you know, my mentor up to that point had been a really great male pastor. And when I first got into ministry and discovered that you were out there, I had been singing Shout to the Lord for years and some of your other songs. But when I discovered the way that you were pastoring
at your church through worship ministry and just the resources you were putting out and reading Extravagant Worship and just saw the things that you were doing. I was so impacted. You know, and this has obviously been several years ago now, but just so impacted to the point that I used your resources to mentor so many people. You know, Extravagant Worship I used in so many relationships and mentoring and just was so impacted by it. And I think the one thing I really am dying to know from you is, what did your journey look like, you know, as a woman in ministry? How did you get started? What kind of obstacles did you face just getting into ministry?
Well, I guess for me, ministry got into me rather than I got into ministry. I was involved at church. I was, you know, I'd been a professional singer since I was 10, actually. But I was, you know, really involved in the background. I loved doing the choir, doing arrangements, it's still my happy place. I love anything that's unseen. And, I just wanted to serve in my local church. It was my way, in my worship expression, and it's what I was good at. And it was just a joy, 100%. There was zero hassle about it, you know. And then I started to lead a little bit, really as a default, when the men were away. And one of the men, you know, did a few stupid things, and suddenly I was kind of, you know, one week I was leading the choir, and the next week I remember Brian coming over to Mark and I and saying, "Hey, Dales, you need to lead this album that we're doing on Saturday." And I just was like, "You are delusional." And this is my friend who's done the wrong thing, I know, but he's still my friend. And because of my sense of loyalty to the leadership that was there before, I just found it so difficult. But you know, Brian is a strong leader, and he said, "No, well, you need to do it." So I did that, and I praise God there was no video, because not only was I like super pregnant and wearing a red jumpsuit, where were my girlfriends to say, "Really?" But not only that, we were all weeping, all of us, for the whole album, because of this, you know, thing that had happened behind the scenes. So, you know, I led that, and then the next thing I know, you know, people from America were going, "You're the first woman." Like, what? I got angry letters from women saying I was meant to be the first woman, not you. Wow. I'm like, what is this? This is like crazy town. And so for me, it was never, there was no grand plan. There was, you know, I was and I am now. I just work in my heart hard to just be a servant, you know, and minister wherever I am. And so that's kind of what happened. And before I knew it, seriously, we were, you know, Shout to the Lord was going crazy. I remember Bill Hybels calling the church office, and at that point I had a little desk up the hallway that I used to just do admin in, and someone put Bill Hybels through to my phone, and I just kept sending it straight back up to the senior pastor's office going, "He, sorry, you've got the wrong extension. I'm really sorry." And they're like, "No, he wants to speak to you." And I'm like, "Girls, seriously, again, delusional." And I would push it all. And then suddenly, finally, Bill Hybels like, "You're a really hard person to get onto."
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, seriously, I'm not. I'm just like, did not think I was the person you were trying to call. I honestly, awesome. Before God. And he just kind of catapulted from that. It was crazy. And, it's been a wild ride, I'll tell you that. It's been amazing, and I'm so humbled and honored. And everything in me is, you know, about declaring God's lordship and kingdom on the earth as it is in heaven. I mean, it's just what I live for. And
well, so it's so beautiful how the Lord can take a broken place like that, like what you're explaining, and then use that almost to carve a place in your heart that you didn't even know was there. So That's a beautiful part of your story that I didn't know.
Amazing.
So Shout to the Lord was already written before that project, obviously, right? So I would love to hear, just from a writing perspective, because I know that song has had such an impact in many ways around the world. Usually with a song like that, there's a story. Can you tell us a little bit about that song in particular?
Yeah, I mean, we were, you know, Mark and I mean, I'm married to an entrepreneur who is a ministry guy who has always got amazing, I mean, he's amazing. He's so inspiring to me. And we had a business that at that point just wasn't doing very well. And, you know, we both just wanted to be in full-time ministry. We'd met doing youth ministry, you know, when we both of us got saved at separate churches. I mean, from that moment, really, our lives, we just did youth ministry and just wanted to be with youth, broken people. And so, you know, after we got married and we played, and he was a drummer, we played in bands, we just did youth, any high school that we could go in, we were just in there. And so this is before all of with Hillsong and everything. And yeah, so we had this business, it wasn't going well, we just wanted to be in ministry. But you know that time between where you are and where your dreams are, and there's that massive gap, the big great divide. Well, we were living in the divide. And you know, I remember us getting this bill from the tax department going, that's it, we're done. What are we ever going to do? I remember sitting at the piano and my little girls just in playing around my feet, and I just literally in about 20 minutes that song just fell out. I didn't even really write it. I can't take credit for it. I just opened up the Bible, and between Psalm 95 and Psalm 100 is that song, you know, and I just sang it, and I didn't play it to anyone. I mean, I wasn't confident in my songwriting abilities, and when I finally played it to our then worship pastor, and I made them stand with their backs to me and facing out because I was just so embarrassed. And I just would keep stopping, going, if you want to change anything, it's fine. I go, my Jesus, my Savior. Sorry if it's a really bad song. I'm really sorry, but.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Probably 10 minutes for me to actually get the song out. But actually, at the end of it, my worship pastor turned around and was teary. He said, that's magnificent. And we sang it the next week when, I remember, our church, we didn't have a venue and we were at the race course. The race, they do horse racing, and Pastor Rick Godman was there. And the church, we just played it over an offering, actually. By the end of the offering, everyone was standing, which didn't happen.
Wow.
So I just remember it was just like something really special had happened. And yeah. That's Shout to the Lord. It's beautiful. Like, and I can't take credit.
That's so amazing. Well, that's, and it's amazing. Awesome how when you get a response like that first time that you play a song, then you know it's the Holy Spirit, you know, because people, if it's a brand new song and they've never experienced it and they still respond in that way, it's just amazing. So, well, I think I shared a little bit with you before about how you've impacted me, but I just wanted to share a little with our listeners. You know, I had been, you know, a little bit like what you were describing. I had my little ones running around my feet, and just here in town in Nashville, worshiping, writing literally for the Lord at my piano for years. And I remember sitting in the office of a record company in town and sharing some of my songs. And he said to me, you know what, if you had come in here and you're 25 years old today, I would sign you to a record deal. But you're 30, and that's old in the music business. So, you know, I don't know if we can do anything. And shortly after that, I ended up at one of your concerts here in town. And that night, my friend dragged me there. she said, she was telling me that I needed to be there. She just knew it. And really, I loved your music, and that always has impacted me. But what you said that night changed a lot for me. You said, there's a cloud over the city, and I just want you to know that if you are alive, you are still effective in the kingdom of God. You are not too old, and You said, I'm a grandmother and I'm up here dancing on stage. And I left that night with a fire in my belly. It reignited me. And then after that, I wrote a song called Your Great Name, which I've got to watch the Lord use. And have
sing a little bit for me.
Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man,
oh,
you are high and lifted. Yeah.
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 Awesome.
Yeah, thanks. And it was written out of a broken time, too. It was a brokenness.
Yeah.
I was dealing with a physical illness when I wrote that song and had my little ones running around. But wrote it as just a cry for the Lord in my life. And, you know, just kept doing what I felt like he called me to do, largely because of what you spoke that night. And then also recently, it just feels like the Lord has kind of brought it full circle. You sang Blessed Savior, Fount of Grace on the Fanny Crosby Project recently, which I wrote on. So it just, it was just the Lord, you know, bringing this beautiful full circle in my life, really through you, and the impact that you've had on me. But I know hearing your story, there are many, ladies out there, that are in the same situation that we've talked about, just at the piano at home with little ones, running around, you know, and still worshiping. And so I hope that they're all encouraged
by that. That's what it's about. Like, I mean, I, you know, I am a bit of I get a little bit crazy about, you know, people would think, you know, in our age of success junkies, and lost the value of the uncluttered life. You've lost the value of the on your knees before the Lord with all of heaven before you, but somehow that's not enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we must get back to putting value. The value is the presence of the Lord. The value is not our success. Mm-hmm. The value is his story in us and through us, you know, and you can't shortcut that. They're found on your knees. Mm. And even when success comes, be on your knees. Yeah. Be on your knees, you know, because otherwise it turns into an industry-owned, like, nonsensical version of worship. It's like, no, this is heaven-shaking worship, whether you were at home by yourself with your children under a weight of bills or in your sick bed or on a platform. Mm-hmm. It's one God.
Yes.
And one declaration. You know, through that, we join this heavenly anthem that expands throughout all of the earth toward our God. And that's the beauty of worship. It's so much bigger and more powerful than people realize. That, you know, if you want to turn it into an industry, you'll make it very small and you'll lose the power.
Mm. Mm. So true. And I really think that, you know,
soapbox.
No, we like your soapbox.
It's great.
Hey, okay.
Can you hear us okay? Because we're cutting in and out a little bit, it feels like.
Oh, I can hear you perfectly.
Oh, great. Okay. I was just thinking as you're saying that, I mean, I really believe we can impact the kingdom of God just as much at home in our living room as we can on a platform. Because our songs are weapons and they are much more than something tangible. It's an intangible weapon that I believe... It's doing spiritual warfare in the heavenlies a lot of times that we can't even see.
Mm-hmm.
Crafted in a secret place.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, especially. Mm-hmm. There's something beautiful about that. We want to hear a little bit too, Darlene, about what you're currently doing, because we know you have a few things going on with your church, and you have Hope Global, right? That you're involved in.
Sure do.
And we heard about a new book.
Oh.
So we would love to hear about those things.
It's hard to know where to start because, you know, when I was coming out of Hillsong and we found, you know, for that last couple of years, God was bringing frustration, and it wasn't at Hillsong, it was just in us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God often uses frustration to get you out of your comfort place and pull you into something, into your new space, your new normal. And so we went on that journey. We came up the coast, and we really knew just through many different confirmations that this is where we're meant to be. And, you know, the church has exploded, and it's amazing, and we're so happy. And what I love is that we're not just now doing ministry in different lanes, but going forward, we are doing ministry together, and I think that's what I really missed. Mark and I just love doing ministry together, and it's just fantastic. So, you know, our whole family is here, which is amazing. My children, everyone moved together, which is just a miracle, and because family is everything to me. But I'm so glad, because then when I got sick, I was so blessed to be in this community and to be really close to my kids. And, you know, I learned so much through that. And you know, again, last week I had a really good report, and, you know, so I'm on 6 monthly checks now, not 3 monthly, which is fantastic. And I still, I've got medication to take for another 9 years, hallelujah, and it's pretty hardcore. It's like constant chemo, but I have a grace for it, and, you know, one day at a time, hallelujah, God is good. So, you know, through that journey, I couldn't do anything. I was on my bed for a year.
Yeah.
I was very sick at times. I didn't think I would make it. And coming out of that season, and, you know, I will say that worship was just pivotal to that whole experience for my whole family. And friends like, you know, Miriam Webster, who wrote Made Me Glad, who would lay hands on me and literally pray over me every single day. She stayed with me every single day during that season. Jen Johnson, who wrote songs and would send them to me so that they would be sung over me while I was, you know, just hanging on. I'll never forget, you know, the kindness of that, bringing faith into my world. But through that, like coming out the other side, you know, I am very intentional now about everything I do. I don't say yes to everything, even though I never did before, but, you know, I probably say yes to 1% of invites. I just am very careful about what I say yes to. I wanted to get that book out, Worship Changes Everything, because I'm passionate about teaching young people the theology of why they do what they do. I want them to understand worship isn't for a platform, but it is central to who you are as a Christ follower. And so, again, I was very intentional. Everything that I do now has got to have legacy attached. I'm just very mindful of the day. Hope Global, you know, it's a ministry we've been involved in for 10 years now. We started it, and we thought it would be just for a little short-term 100-day project we were doing in Rwanda, but, you know, now it's in lots of countries, and it's been amazing to see what God is doing. You know, I've started something up here on the coast called Southern Meals, and anyone on the Central Coast who is walking through cancer treatment, anyone, doesn't matter who you are, you can email our church. There's a Southern Meal drop-down box, and ask for meals while you're going through treatment, because I encountered this other world called the cancer world, and it's intense, and there's millions of people in it and trapped in it. Mm-hmm. And I just found all these people, like single moms, walking through cancer with no support or very little support. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I had so much support. And I'm like, that's no one is going to go through this on their own. It is too big. And so, you know, we've started that and it's just, you know, phenomenal. And I mean, I'm just making the most of every day, and the songs that are coming, you know, and I am recording them toward the end of this year. It's taken me a long time to get my energy back. I'm still not, you know, I haven't got all my energy back yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, again, just taking my time, but I am recording these songs, and I'm just even more intentional in the lyrics. And I guess everything about me is a little bit more intentional now. Mm. There's been a, you know, that, and that has happened since cancer. Mm. So, you know, I'm a walking miracle. I'm giving God every bit of glory. I'm so thankful for the global church. I could feel the prayers. Sometimes it came like waves, literally waves, just torrents, and I knew people were praying for me, and I needed it. And, yeah, so that's where I'm at. We got lots of things going on, lots of things we're very passionate about. Oh, I started a high school this year.
Oh, wow. Oh. Hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, we started a creative arts high school, a Christian creative arts high school, because, again, all these kids, my daughter being one of them, my youngest, she's 14, you know, sitting in a beautiful school, but because she's creative, you know, her mind was always elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yeah, we've done that, and it's awesome. Yeah, lots of things, but really good things.
That's amazing. I mean, it's beautiful to hear even how just the hardship of walking through cancer has brought so many beautiful things into your life, but not just your life, into so many other people's lives. So I can relate to that with... What was that, Darlene?
Oh, no, I just said I pray so. I just want to be effective in the kingdom.
Yes. Yeah. I went through Lyme disease. I don't know if you're familiar with what that is, from a tick bite.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Yeah. So I've gone through it twice, actually. I went through it the first time during my first pregnancy and for several years after. But I realized that through that process, that was when I learned to really rely on the Lord in a totally different way. And then he physically healed me at a healing service, and it changed everything for me. It changed who I thought he was to me, and how I understood his love and all that. And then I was really great for about 10 years. And then I got more tick bites, and it hit me again. So...
gosh.
You know, it's just, I remember laying in bed and just praying, Lord, if you can show me how you're going to use this for good, then I'll have the strength to get through it. And he did. He's shown me lots of things. And so I'm so glad to partner together with you and, you know, through those hard things, bring some beautiful things to the kingdom of God.
Oh, yeah. And look, the Word of God, that's the thing. I think if people would grab not to their feelings, but grab on to the Word of God, patiently endure. And in Hebrews 6, it says that Abraham obtained his promise when he patiently endured. You know, Psalm 91, I speak it over myself every day with long life. I will satisfy her, he says, and show her my salvation. Well, I made it a her.
I like that.
You know, just all the scriptures, you write them down. You know, I have a little book that I keep with me all the time. I've got it at my sitting here with me right now, and it's got all my scriptures that God has spoken to me that I just keep with me so that if my feelings are trying to bubble up or I do have a hard day, everyone does, you know, God's not judging us when we have a hard day, but he's given us the word so that we can, you know, like in Proverbs 4, it says, don't let the word depart from your eyes, because the word is life to those that find them and health to their flesh. Okay, come on, people. Just get practical. Get the word of God in you, however way, shape, or form, and have it by you for those hard days. And so speak it off yourself. Speak it out. Get in. Turn the television off. Put the worship on. Turn it up loud. Speak the word of God. You know, get around your own faith. Give faith a job.
That's awesome. I love that.
I do love that too.
It's beautiful. So as far as your book, can you tell us a little bit about your book? We want to make sure that we can share how to get that and where to find it.
Oh, well, I don't really know where to find it in America. I'm sure at a Christian bookstore or online. I seriously am no good at all that stuff. I'm sure you'll find it if you look for it.
Yes, I think it's on Amazon for sure.
There you go. Thanks, honey. But, you know, again, it was about worship changes everything. I just had been through life experiences where I've just seen again and again the presence of God just come close and literally change everything. You know, I write in there about money. I write in there about raising children. I write in there about sex. I mean, I just write about everything. I'm like, oh, well, you know, if this is my last book, let's make it a good one. So it's not going to be my last book, but I'm just saying I wanted to attack some of these, like life. You know, it's funny that people think worship and think a platform and a Sunday expression. And that's the smallest tip of the breadth of worship. And I just try to put a little bit of voice to what happens on the wings of worship in your own heart, which then affects your home, which affects your relationships, which affects your life. And, you know, a lot of the things we're striving for, we'll never get to them without firstly reconciling some of these things in our heart. And, you know, and then because we're made in the image of God and he just wants to lift the lives of people, we find ourselves in these environments as worshipers, where we're really on the coal face of just the human experience. And, you know, the word says the poor you will always have with you. And I believe it's because we're always meant to be around the poor in spirit or the broken, because we have this kingdom of light inside us. And as worshipers, it's made so aware in us and through us. And, you know, we have much to accomplish as his, you know, mirroring his image on the earth. And so, you know, this is why I get passionate, and this is where Worship Changes Everything came out of. It's like out of a desperation, really, for people to understand that worship is not about CDs. I mean, it's a vehicle. See, you know, the way we communicate worship, these are vehicles and they're very powerful and needful. And Sunday as we gather together, or whenever you gather together, the word says don't forsake doing that, and it should be a real and relevant and passionate experience. But it's your fuel tank. It's not your life. You know, to go and see.
It's on her computer.
Christ expression. Yeah. So, you know, that's what the book is about.
Oh, well, Darlene, thank you so much. Just, I mean, not just for talking to us today, but just for me, I mean, I've been watching from a very far distance away, what you've done for so many years and just your heart for worship. And I can't wait to read this newest book, because I feel like I've seen you communicate those same themes for a long time. And I just want to say thank you, you know, on behalf of so many people that you have impacted, not just because of your great talent, but because of your heart for the Lord and for his word and for truth and the honesty that you bring, the transparency that you bring in worship. And I just, you know, because of your obedience, there's so many people that have been impacted and will continue to be impacted. Just this ripple effect, you know, that has happened because of what you've done and because you said yes, you know? And so I appreciate it so much. And just thank you so much for sharing with us.
Oh, thank you. And look, I'll be praying for you girls. I really will. Actually, I'm going to pray for you right now, if that's all right.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
Father, I thank you today. I thank you for Chrissy and for Mary Beth, and I thank you for what you're doing in and through them. Lord Jesus, I speak favor on what is in their hearts, Lord God, and that as they continue to press into your presence, that you will continue to refine what is in their hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just pray that for their families, I pray for their churches, I pray, Lord God, for their areas of influence, that you continue to just surprise them with your goodness. And Lord God, we just surrender ourselves again today. In our different countries, our different expressions, we surrender ourselves today, and just we do pray your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray with all of our hearts today. And we could not be more humbled and honored to serve you, Lord God, such maker of heaven and earth, and yet you delight to be with us. And it is too overwhelming to truly understand, but we do say thank you today. And we just love you with everything that we are, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you so much, Darlene. We have one little last thing we're going to ask for help with before we finish up today.
Yep.
And it's called the 30 Seconds of Awesome. So we're just going to ask you to share with us, and, you know, just really quick, 30 seconds or less, if you could give any advice to young women whose hearts are called into worship, or whose hearts worship has called in, as you might say, what would it be?
If you're a woman and you're called into a ministry of worship, I would pray that you would allow the ministry of worship to really impact you first. Get on your knees. Just be real before the Father. Be filled up in Him so that every time you have the honor and privilege of leading others to his presence, that for you, it's a well-worn path. It's not a performance. It's something that you are like skipping, like delighting the King's, just running and skipping into his presence. And I speak blessing and favor over every one of you. I pray that every time you lead and announce and declare that God is here, that you will literally see the kingdom of heaven advance right before your very eyes, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you again, Darlene.
Okay.
And we want to be mindful of your time, so we're so appreciative. And thanks again for sowing seeds into us. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping to sow some seeds into others.
Yeah, well, you are so good. Good on you, girls. You're amazing. Bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. And we'll be praying for you to continue in health and energy.
Amen. Amen. See ya.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Wow, what an honor just to have the opportunity to talk with Darlene and just for her to pray, you know, for this as a ministry. I know that that's our heart for this, that we want this to be a ministry to God's people and his daughters in particular.
Yes.
So, what an awesome blessing to get to talk to her.
Yeah.
And spend that time.
Well, yeah, just an honor that of all the things that she has as far as opportunities, that she would choose not to pour into us, but all of you that are listening, because I know that's her heart. And it's much bigger than what we can wrap our arms around. And we're well aware of the importance of community and the church and pouring in, and she is. And so I think it just matches her heart. I'm just thankful she came.
Me too. Absolutely.
All right. Well, I hope that all of you were inspired, encouraged, and you got prayed for. Hope that you've been lifted up in your worship leading or your worship writing this week. And we are praying for good things for you, not just for this week, but for many years to come. So, as they say,
walk bravely.
Walk bravely. We'll have a great week, everybody.
The times I've grown most as a songwriter are the times I've had mentors showing me the way. If you're looking to grow as a songwriter, we're now accepting applications for our Worship Songwriter Mentorship. Now, it's available only a few times each year. The Worship Songwriter Mentorship is a songwriting intensive that will help you craft impactful worship songs. It's a course created by Dove Award-winning and Grammy-nominated, drumroll here please, our founder, pro songwriter Chrissy Nordoff. It's a small group community, and it's led by other songwriters over the course of 9 weeks. It's an intensive course in a small group co-writing environment, and that means you'll be added to a special group of about 12 writers, give or take. Each group is led by experienced songwriters, some of them my dear, dear friends, and I've even gotten to lead a group or two. Rachel here, by the way. We love the church, and we love to champion fellow worship songwriters just like yourself. In this mentorship, you'll learn how to write songs for you and your congregation. You'll go deeper in your intimacy with Jesus. You'll get the tools needed to help craft songs more easily and never run out of creative ideas. Okay, I know it sounds too good to be true, but trust me, this course is a game changer. You'll learn how to leverage your unique songwriting personality and connect with other like-minded writers in a meaningful way. Truly, I can't think of another course, group of people, community that has impacted my songwriting the way that this mentorship has. If you're wanting to take the next steps in your songwriting journey, then apply now at the link in our show notes. We hope to see you there.